This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, here we go. Hour three of the Hoffman Show. We got Jalen Lane's coach from Virginia Tech coming up at 6:15. But first, a preview of rookie minicamp. Logan and I recorded this, as you'll hear immediately, Thursday morning. As soon as, literally, as we hit stop on the recording, we got word that today's session had been moved inside. And then Saturday is the session that's open to the media. So everything else we say previewing rookie minicamp, and especially the guys that we're going to talk about. We picked three in particular players that we wanted to highlight. That's also relevant. So without further ado, take command style. Here is your rookie minicamp preview here on the Hoffman Show. Take Command Podcast, Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here as we record on Thursday, May 8th. Tomorrow is Friday, May 9th. And that day is rookie minicamp, Logan Paulson. So we will be out in Ashburn. We will review that next week. We might mix up the schedule a little bit. Of course, still taking your mailbag questions, but we'll do a rookie minicamp review early next week as well. And then, of course, Mina Kimes is going to join us on Thursday. But going into this, obviously, we've talked plenty about the draftees, including on today's show, Logan. But there's also some UDFAs that we want to highlight. So we picked three off of the list. And of course, it's worth reminding, there are priority undrafted free agents, guys that we think really have a chance to make the team, and that guys that will be signed or already have been signed in some cases to the 90-man roster. And then there are also a bunch of other invites. Occasionally, one of those guys earns a training camp, what's essentially a training camp invite. He'll make the 90-man, probably doesn't have a chance of making the team, but can he make the practice squad and next year make the team? So there's all different levels just because a guy's at rookie minicamp. Sometimes, honestly, you're doing a favor to an agent type of deal. So there's all kinds of politicking that happens with these things. And you also have to fill out enough of a roster at a rookie minicamp to actually be able to have a practice. But we've picked three guys that we think are worth paying attention to that will probably be around for the remainder of the spring and into the fall at the very least. And then we'll see if they wind up making the team come September. First guy, Logan, that you've highlighted is Robert McDaniel, a safety from Jackson State. What you like about him?
So I like a lot about him. I mean, he's playing at Jackson State, so it's borderline in terms of level of competition. It's borderline, but he came in as a corner and then he moved to safety. And then in that defense, the safety kind of plays overhang. So he's covering the slot, or he's also on the line of scrimmage, kind of like Jeremy Chin was last year, kind of in your odd front. And there was a game, I think it was versus Alabama State, I was watching, where he's taking on pulling guards and he's using his length and he's running with receivers. And then I was talking to a scout who said that there was a game where there was an injury. And so he started at safety and then ended up playing corner. So he's playing like defensive end edge in their safety package, and then he's covering outside receivers. And when I see safeties that have his height, he's 6'2", his weight, he's 210 pounds, around a 4.5 40, tested pretty well at his pro day. Like, I see that and I'm like, that's a guy that I want to take a shot on. And when you look at the body types of the guys they brought in to play linebacker safety, Kane, 6'3", 225, Dominique Hampton, 6'3 and a half,
we'll see what he weighs after his linebacker conversion redshirt year, where he was told to eat a lot of protein and lift a lot of weights.
Yeah, like Jeremy McGee, same type of deal, right? McGee, 6'3". Jeremy McGee's guy I played with in college. Jordan McGee.
Shout out to him.
6'3 and a half. He's kind of in that same mold, a bigger, longer, rangier guy. And I just like his coverage set. I like his physicality. And so, again, it's a little bit of a projection because the Jackson State thing, it's not always clean. Like, his football IQ is not always 1,000%. But I like the player, and I like his prospect of, like, kind of fitting in with, you know, even, like, the guys, like, think about Tyler Owens, like, big, long, rangy. Like, Ben Nickel, he's the practice squad safety, big, long, rangy. Like, they have a type. And yeah, he fits the type of this, and he's, and his play is pretty good. You know, like, the corner coverage ability, the in the box play. So they have a type, he fits it, and I think he's a good football player. So
it's so funny because they're like, the later they get in drafts, it seems like the more they're just like, is this dude an athletic freak? Can we figure it out? Like, you know, Bill's a little bit different. He's like a, he just is an instinctual runner, and you just watch him. He's a lot of fun, and he doesn't necessarily have huge testing numbers in the way that like Medrano does, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, McDaniel, nearly an 11-foot broad jump. Like, he's kind of a freaky athlete. And you'd say the same thing about Carlin Vigors, the next guy you want to talk about, the corner out of Louisiana Monroe, 6'1", 205. Again, a 10-foot, 10-inch broad jump, 38-inch vert, ran a 4.52. Like, kind of a freaky athlete, 32, almost 33-inch arms for a guy who's 6'1 at the cornerback position. So what do you like about Carlin Vigors?
Yeah, so I only watched one game for him. It was the Texas game. So he's going up against Isaiah Bond and Matthew Golden and all these guys. And he looked excellent. He looked like a guy who should have been drafted. And again, I didn't watch all his games, but when you leave that game, you're kind of like, man, this guy's pretty good. Like, they played a little bit of cover three, did a great job staying over top, kind of keeping everything in front of him, running with, you know, Isaiah Bond, running with Matthew Golden. He had some man-to-man downs where he's up pressing guys, keeping good leverage. He seems to track the football pretty well. I think the one thing that jumped out to me is he's not a killer when it comes to tackling. And I don't need my corners to be absolute murderers, but I need them to be okay and like willing to do it. He seemed like he was a little bit disinterested in it. So that'll be interesting to see when he gets to camp. And again, like, I watched one game, so maybe he's, you know, like Dick Butkus in the other games, who knows. But he struck me as a guy who kind of, if they were still playing a heavy cover three team, I'd be like, man, he's going to make the team for sure. So it'll be interesting to see him because, again, his zone, his feel in zone, I thought was really good. I thought he did a great job in man-to-man coverage too, but I want to see him do that more versus NFL top-flight receivers. But the Texas game was excellent. And, again, I came out of that game being like, why didn't this dude get drafted? One game does not tell a complete story, but I liked him a lot, liked what he brings from a measurement athlete kind of standpoint. And the film was good, you know, the game that I watched. So, I that's why he's on the list of kind of guys to keep an eye on. I think both these guys got a shot. You know, obviously they're running in the outside lane. It's going to be tough for them, but I think they both got a shot to make the team.
Yeah, and those are the kind of guys, too, that can they make the team as special teamers?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, exactly
that's
right.
Tyler Owens and you know, some of the other guys that made it as UDFAs last year, Colson Yankoff on the offensive side, like, he made it. Yeah, Colson, you know, showed some things on offense, made a couple of plays here and there, but like, dude's a special teams demon. And considering how much they value that, that they think that is a part of the game that they can have an advantage over other teams in, that's going to matter because you just need those guys that are cheap at the end of roster that maybe have some developmental upside, but can give you something right now. And especially, I think, in a class draft wise. Now, again, they kept 11 last year, 2024 rookies, I should say, between their 9 draftees and then Owens and Yankoff. They only got 5 draftees this year. It seems like there might be some UDFA spots available, but we'll see. Last guy we're going to highlight, Ja'Cory Brooks. He's a really interesting story. Wide receiver out of Louisville, and very much profile-wise, the opposite of McDaniel and Vigors. Like, this is a guy that does not test really well. In fact, his testing is kind of worrisome, which is probably why he goes undrafted. But his production is crazy. He was a 5-star recruit, went to Alabama, had an okay time at Alabama, goes to Louisville last year, and he's Tyler Shook's favorite target, has a 1,000-yard receiving season at Louisville. Even though he, again, ran a 4.65 at his pro day, he had 20 catches of 20 yards or more in 2024. That's third in amongst Power Four players, only behind Travis Hunter and Matthew Golden. So production-wise, this dude's got it. Testing-wise, not so much. What do we think of Ja'Cory Brooks?
Yeah, watching his cut-ups, like watching his targets, so all the routes that he ran at Louisville, I'm like, man, this guy's pretty good at football. You know what I mean? Like, it shows up. Like, the way he tracks the football is high level. Like, I think it was versus Pittsburgh. he has this play where the DB kind of pulls him down. So he's looking over his left shoulder to catch the ball. The DB pulls him down. He does a complete 180, so he's not looking at the ball. He's looking at the ground. He somehow gets his eyes back up in time and makes a diving catch. And then he has a bunch of like these posts where he's catching the ball away from him. He just has really good ball skills, instincts to the football, tracks the football well. He's got a nice short area quickness. Reminds me like a little bit of like Stevie Johnson. Remember the guy that used to play for the Bills? Like, yep. A taller, longer frame that's pretty good short area. And so for the receiver stuff, I think you say, oh, man, that's pretty good. But then you see him catch the ball in the open field, and he's the kind of guy that's like looking behind him because he's not the fastest guy in the world. And, you know, he ran a 4.65 at his pro day. So yeah, not super explosive, but long arms, good, really good catch radius, really good catch radius. That's like, if I was going to say something that's like his superpower, that's what I would kind of designate there as his skill set. The way he catches and tracks the football is high level, and his short area burst is pretty solid. So, again, there are limitations to him athletically, but I think he's a guy that's going to flash a little bit and maybe be able to carve out a spot for himself as like that sixth, seventh kind of wide out role.
Yeah, he blocked a punt multiple years when he was at Alabama, so he's got some special teams experience, which matters. And, you know, the testing numbers are interesting, especially you start reading up the profile in the Beast that Dane wrote up on him. And under weaknesses, doesn't have a fifth gear. He just like doesn't have that top end, which is why he ran a 4.65. But he's got a 1.56 10-yard split, which is not great, but it's not bad. He ran a 4.35 short cone. Or short shuttle. That's not elite by any stretch, but it's not bad. Like it's probably more middle of the road wide receivery, or maybe even like, you know, slightly above average than it is. But he just doesn't have the top end sprint speed to pull away at the NFL level, or even when he gets the ball and, you know, gets that separation to go. So that's a really interesting, intriguing guy, a guy that's got some feel, got some know-how, has a great track record of production. Can he make some plays starting in rookie minicamp this weekend? Probably. And then can that be enough to get him an invite to OTAs? And then do you become Sam Hartman's favorite target enough to earn you some snaps up the depth chart, you know, make some noise on special teams and make the team? Like, this is a team that has a really interesting receiver room already. I think there's a lot of bodies in there that we feel pretty confident are going to make the team. But again, special teams is going to be the difference, and he's got an interesting track record there. He's also returned kicks in the past. Not that I think that's what they're probably looking for him to do. But if he's got at least the experience of being a part of a kick return unit, part of a punt return unit, part of punt block, you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe he's got, you know, done some tackling in his day at the receiver position. That's a good skill set to have as the sixth guy in a wide receiver room.
Yeah, I think 100%. And again, the receiver, like the film is good. Like it's good. Like the way he runs routes, the way he finds space, the way he protects the football, it's good. So I do think there is an opportunity for him if you know how to utilize his skill set. So seeing him in rookie minicamp is going to be interesting. And then again, watching him when he gets with like the varsity football players, like does the speed issue show up? Because again, on film, like the short area stuff, it doesn't really show up. You know what I mean? It's not like a huge issue, but just how he fits in the offense. I'm curious. He's an interesting player because over 1,000 yards receiving, man, on 60 catches, like he's got something. And and like I said, the film's a lot of fun to watch. So it'd be interesting to see if that lack of a fifth gear is detrimental long term.
Yeah, his second year at Alabama in 22, he only had 39 catches, but 8 of them went for touchdowns. Like he just has a knack for it. And he had 9 touchdowns and 61 catches with 1,000 yards last year at Louisville. So he's a guy that just figures out how to make plays down the field, at least at the college level. And again, he was a 5-star recruit. Emeka Egbuka was the only receiver that was rated higher than him.
Wow.
Coming out in their class. So definitely an interesting guy. All right. Next time, we'll talk about how they did because it will be next week and we'll have gone to rookie minicamp. Until then, get your mailbag questions in on Instagram at Hoffman.sports or at Logan_Paulson82 on Instagram. You can also use HoffmanShow.com, use the contact link, or send us an email there. So that's our show. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll see you next week for our rookie minicamp recap and some of your mailbag questions. Then on Thursday with Mina. Thanks again for watching and listening. Stay tuned.
Yes, you did hear that correctly. Mina Kimes is going to join the show next Thursday. So excited for that on Take Command. Next here on the radio, we have a conversation for you as we are waiting the call from Stu Holt, who is the special teams coordinator at Virginia Tech, meaning he got to work with Commander's fourth round pick, Jalen Lane, the last couple of years down in Blacksburg. We talked to Stu next here on the Team 980. But first, the latest in the world of women's sports presented to you by Wawa Chicken, how you wanna. At Wawa with customizable roasted or crispy chicken sandwiches.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And joining us now to talk about one of the Commander's newest signees, actually signed his contract a little bit earlier today. That is Jalen Lane. The player, the coach is Stu Holt. He's the special teams coordinator and was an offensive assistant the last couple of years as well with Virginia Tech. And Coach Holt is with us now. And Stu, I'll start here. The first time you saw Jalen Lane play football, was it, you know, someone sliding a tape across your desk? It was Middle Tennessee tape. Were you aware of him in high school down in South Carolina? Like, when's the first time you ever were aware of Jalen Lane, and what'd you think when you saw him?
I first became aware when I saw the film from Middle Tennessee, and I knew Coach Stock still pretty well over there at Middle, and so, you know, they had great things to say about him. Obviously, his film kind of spoke for itself. You know, got a chance to watch him, you know, play receiver and return kicks, and just knew that he was a dynamic guy and knew that he was a guy that was going to make us better.
So you get him in, and did you know immediately, like, all right, this guy's going to be a punt returner, you know how to use him offensively, or did it take a second, because he's such a unique weapon? I mean, his testing numbers are crazy. So did it take a second to figure out just what to do with a guy like that?
Yeah, well, you know, the easy part is, you know, you want the ball in his hands.
Right.
So you know that you got to figure out, you know, how many different ways can we get the ball in his hands. It was probably a little bit easier. You know, the kicking stuff is easy to figure out. You know, you just got to get him in there, and he competed with our – we had a returning guy at punt return, Tucker Holloway, who had a great year for us year before. So that was a competition. But also, you know, the part was, it's like, man, let's get both these guys on the field. You know, let's get them both back there. And so we toyed around with that. And then unfortunately Tucker got injured. We knew Jalen, we wanted him to get really comfortable in the offense. We wanted him to really, you know, feel like he was ready to roll, offensively, because we knew we needed him as a weapon there. And then we brought the punt return stuff, you know, came later on. And, you know, and then once he started there, I mean, once he got rolling, you know, catching punts, that was it. I mean, he was playing extremely well. Don't know that I've been around a guy that has the guts that he has, fielding the football. I mean, he's excellent at it. And, you know, he truly believes every chance he gets with the ball in his hands on a punt return that he's going to score. And he's got a great chance to do that.
Stu Holt, the special teams coordinator with Virginia Tech, with us here on the Hoffman Show. There's a couple things you said there, Stu, that I think stand out, especially to Commanders fans that might be listening, because this is a program in Washington that Dan Quinn has built on competition. What is it like? Who is Jalen the competitor? Because you said he wasn't afraid of competition, not afraid. Hey, let's get him and the other kid back there together. And it seems like Jalen embraced that. Like, when did you know, like, oh, this guy's not just like a 4.3 really special athlete on tape. Like, this is a special, different kind of kid as a human being.
Well, you know, his father is a very, very strong high school coach, very good coach, has won a ton of games. That's what Jalen's been raised around. He's been raised right. You know, mom and dad are just tremendous people. And, you know, he knew that, you know, from an early age that, hey, I got to go get it. I got to go earn it. And so, you know, he's a mature guy. He's certainly has, you know, all of his, he's really, really squared away off the field. And so when he came in, we're like, hey, this is, you know, this is where we're at. And he was just hit the ground running. I mean, from day one was a consistent, probably the best way I can put it for the NFL and what I think is going to help him the most is he is consistent every day. He brings it every day. He practices extremely hard every day, and has a great attitude. Teammates love him. Tries to help his teammates, you know, anywhere needed. So he's just a guy that is unique. Unique in a lot of really good ways.
Sounds like they put the commander tag on him, is what they call it up here, a guy that is like that. Offensively, you know, y'all had, I think, is an interesting offensive to look at with NFL eyes, schematically, in what you guys do down there. So the projection, I think, for a lot of teams might have been, it's a projection as opposed to some more straight line type of you know, evaluation. What do you think he can be offensively, though, at the NFL level? We know he was the number one punt returner on the Commanders board, but like as a receiver, what can he do that you saw and that you think he might even be capable of more?
He is a really tough matchup. You know, wherever you put him, field, boundary, wherever you decide to put him in the offensive set, he's going to make it really difficult. If he's against, you know, he can go against any corner that he's matched against that I've seen. Then you start putting him against a bigger body, they're going to struggle, you know, covering him in space. If he gets matched up with a linebacker at the second level, he's strong, very explosive. It's going to be really difficult for those guys, to bully him, so to speak. So I just feel like he has the stature and the skill set, you know, to get open. And then once he gets open, he's got great hands. He's going to catch a football. He's very tough. Certainly played physical in the run game and the passing game. So, I mean, I think Washington made an outstanding pick. I mean, I think that really the sky's the limit for Jalen.
Stu Holt with us for another minute here on the Hoffman Show. He's a special teams coordinator down at Virginia Tech, also helps on their offensive staff. And the other question I wanted to ask you, Stu, is on some level like a bigger picture question with the current state of college football. You have all these transfer kids coming in, which I'd imagine changes a little bit how you guys have to coach, because you're not going to have guys year over year over year. And, you know, when you make that transition to a new school, or in this case for Jalen to the NFL, like that learning curve can be steep. So what was it like to coach him just, you know, in the classroom, on the field, what kind of learner he was and how he was able to adapt, as he'll have to do again here in Washington?
Yeah, I think, we're fortunate, you know, we play at the highest level of college football. So we're able to, you know, we're able to get guys that have played really well in the group of five, possibly at other places in the Power Four. Excuse me. And so we're able to get those guys in the classroom when they're on their visit, go through the film. You know, the good thing about having an older guy, when you sit down with Jalen and we got a chance to watch college film with him, he's got the knowledge base, I think, from his upbringing, from his father, certainly, but also playing in a really, really pass-friendly system at Middle Tennessee. So you could talk through route trees, you could talk through concepts, you could talk through coverage. You know, it was very evident with him early on that he understood it frontwards and backwards. And so that made his transition here really smooth. You know, and then you put the skill set on top of it and his work ethic. And there's really not, I mean, I really struggle to find anything negative to say about Jalen, and in particular his preparation. You know, the guy's just a guy you can count on. And at the end of the day, I mean, you really can't pay, you know, a much stronger compliment to a college football player, a pro football player, than knowing that, hey, this guy can produce and he's a guy you can count on every day.
Stu Holt, special teams coordinator, offensive assistant down at Virginia Tech. Coach, we really appreciate the time here on a Friday. Have a great weekend, and maybe we'll talk to you down the line.
Man, appreciate you having me on, and have a great weekend.
All right, that is Stu Holt. We appreciate you here on the Hoffman Show. We get back, preview tonight's games in the National Basketball Association. Can the Celtics avoid that 0-3 hole this weekend, and can the Cavaliers avoid it tonight? It's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. Got some pretty good stuff in the folder for Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones coming up to close the show. Anthony, I feel like I'm a car who's running out of fuel. I'm like, can we get this thing home? Can we get to the petrol station?
I know exactly what to do next segment to get us there.
I think I know what you're saying. We had a funny moment, by the way. Peel back curtain real quick. One of the things that we've had in the folder for a couple days for Real Things is this really funny interview Michael Penix gave about his do-rag. And Anthony is someone who wears a do-rag with frequency, including right now, which you know if you're watching us on YouTube. Nice royal purple. That's the number one go-to. How many do-rags do you have? What's in the rotation?
In the rotation?
Yeah, I
black,
guess those are different questions.
Purple, white. Those are the ones in rotation. Yeah. I do have a green one. I have a red one. And I have another black one that I wear when I wash my hair in the shower.
Okay. So that's rotation and out of rotation. Yeah. But Michael Penix talked about it. And so I sit down in my chair in the break and I go, Anthony, I got an important question for you. And Anthony, without missing a beat, goes, is it do-rag related? And I go, no. What should Rachel and I have for dinner? I wanted to know. I was outsourcing because Anthony, when you're old and married one day, that is the bane of your existence as a couple, is figuring out what you want for dinner.
Yeah.
There's times that I go, hey, Rachel. And she goes, don't look at me. Don't you dare ask me. I'm like, but I want you to be involved in the decision. Don't ask me. I'm like, okay. Do you want me to make dinner up here? Yes. Okay. Got it. Got it. Let me scroll on takeout options. Let me see what we got in the fridge. Let me. Whatever. So I was trying to outsource that decision. You weren't unhelpful, but the problem is like then it's a guessing game because I could just order some stuff, and then if Rachel's like, I don't want that, then I'm in trouble. Not in trouble. She would be like, thank you for trying, but that's not what I want. Anyway, the point is, if anybody knows what I should have for dinner, leave a comment in the YouTube chat. All right. Tonight, to watch along with dinner, you have Cavs and Pacers, Anthony. Cavs and Pacers. The Cleveland Cavaliers are down 2-0 in the series, despite the fact that they've had two of those games, two of two, at home. And they were a 64-win team in the regular season. They part of this is injury. And I think that should be said, right? Like, part of this is Darius Garland hasn't played. Evan Mobley has... or missed game two. DeAndre Hunter missed game two. as tip-off is less than an hour away, is it as simple as this comes down to if do they get those guys back or not? Because if that's the case, let's see, where are we at game three? Have you seen a final injury report from game three?
I have not. I'm waiting. I even have ESPN up right now, and they haven't said anything. So I'm like,
yeah, I have not either seen it because I know that. I mean, we know that Garland is out, but Hunter's listed as day to day. This is the latest on the official injury report. Hunter's listed day to day. Mobley's listed day to day. So unless there's a new update on Garland, he's probably still out. But if they can get Hunter and Mobley back, like they can compete in the series. If they're down all three of those guys and they have to win four of five games, including three on the road, number one seed's going home, bro. Like Indiana's too good. They're too together. They have such a distinct identity. They know they're confident. It's everything you want in a playoff series, plus a 2-0 lead.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, we saw Donovan Mitchell run out of steam last game, and it takes, you know, being in that position to, you know, be able to withstand that, but I think the Pacers have too much. They play together.
And actually, Anthony, I'm gonna cut you off real quick because I just saw another update, clicked on a couple more things. Garland expected to play in game three.
So
that's according to Shams. And then Mobley participated in morning shoot-around. And then Hunter present at shoot around, but we'll see if he ultimately plays. So it looks like at the very least they're going to get Garland back.
Yeah, if you get Garland back, I think you're good. Like, again, you were missing 21 points and like five or six assists a game with his absence the last two games. So I think on the offensive side of the ball, they'll be good. Defensively, they were pretty good through three quarters. I mean, it wasn't until the fourth quarter where the Pacers got loose a little bit. But I think defensively, which has been the Cavs' identity all season long, they were good, but they needed a little bit more. Donovan Mitchell needed a little bit more help. So I think with Garland, they win game three.
But here's the question.
Uh-oh.
Garland's been out for a little bit here. How, like, just because he's back doesn't mean he's Darius Garland, all-star, you know, borderline all-star level player. Like, I don't know what he is. Like, he's got a toe injury. Like, yeah. if he's not as, and this is a guy whose game is predicated on quickness and, yeah, and burst and jigginess. And like, it's hard to do that when you got a toe injury. And so we'll see. I mean, and like, by the way, I shouldn't even give this the time of the day, but like, he's Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith being like, this guy's not tough enough and not playing. Shut up. You're the worst. You just like have respect for people. What is wrong with you? Like, just stop. Please stop doing this job. Run for president, lose by a million bajillion votes, and then retire. Because you're done being smart on TV, if you ever were. Anyway, can they win? Absolutely. They're a 64-win team. They're great. But I would just say, oh, everyone's back. Things are fine. Nah, that's not how injuries work. Because guys need to redevelop a rhythm. And it's one thing to readjust to a regular season pace, but readjusting to a playoff pace and playoff fitness, that is a jolt to the system. So it's going to be interesting to watch tonight. I still think Denver is going to push this thing out to at least six games.
Mm.
So that means they get one of the next two. Now, if they get this one and they're up 2-1, like, what does that do to Oklahoma City? I don't think that team, even though they're young, I don't sense that's a group that's going to panic. But I definitely look for them to bounce back tonight after they got absolutely dump trucked in game two.
Yeah, I think it'll be closer. I think OKC will still win. Game three. The manner in which, you know, they destroyed the Nuggets, I don't know. I don't know if Denver has enough scoring power, because Aaron Gordon, he had a solid game, but Michael Porter Jr., he has struggled this entire series. I think he's shooting like 11% or 15% from three.
He's struggling. He's inconsistent as hell, and he's hurt.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's hurt.
He's inconsistent, healthy, and now we see what's happening when he's hurt. All right, when we get back, here's what we're going to do. Real things, real people said in real microphones. Plus, we're going to take all the NBA series and tell you just – here's the game score coming out. Celtics will be 2-1. by the end of the weekend? Down 3-0? We're going to do that with all four series next as we wrap up here on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. Looking forward to the weekend here on the Team 980. Final segment of the day. Getting ready for some NBA action tonight, NHL action tonight, if you like. Nats are underway down at Nats Park against the Cardinals. Should be a beautiful weekend in the district. Anthony, you got any fun plans this weekend?
No. I will be on duty at my school, so I will be chilling for the most part.
Nice. Chilling, honestly, sounds great. Like, sometimes I look at Rachel and I go, do we have plans this weekend? She's like, yeah, we're doing this. I'm like, oh, that sounds awesome. I'm excited for that. Or I'm like, hey, I can't wait for our plans this weekend. I looked at her yesterday. I was like, do we have plans this weekend? She goes, nope. And I go, great.
Yeah.
Great. This week was a week. I allegedly, it's supposed to slow down this time of year. I missed that memo. Monday on the show, next week's crazy. Next week, Monday, NBA draft lottery. Wednesday, NFL schedule release. Friday, WNBA season opener.
Dang, that's a hell of a week too.
Yeah. Rookie mini camp on Saturday. Just, there's a lot of stuff happening, bro. A lot of stuff happening. All right, real quick. By the end of the weekend, the Cavs-Pacers series will be what? It is currently 2-0 Indiana. We have game 3 tonight, and we have game 4 on Sunday.
It will be 2-2.
Wow, you're going 4-2. I'm going 3-1 Indiana.
Oh, my gosh. 3-1 Indiana.
I'm saying they split. All they got to do is split at home.
Hey, look, all I'm telling you is, Craig, last year – the Timberwolves won 2 in Denver, and guess what? Denver came right back and won 2 in their crib.
Sure, it can happen, but like, we shouldn't look at anomalies as regularities. That sounded really smart. That sounded really smart. I've still got a little gas left in the tank.
You're right.
All right, Thunder Nuggets, currently 1-1, Anthony. Game 3 tonight, game 4 on Sunday.
I think this one will be 2-2. I think the Thunder won tonight, the Nuggets win whenever they play again Sunday, I think.
I think the order is flipped, but I agree with you. It's 2-2 by the end of the weekend. All right, Saturday, Celtics-Knicks, currently 2-0 New York. By the end of the weekend, there's just one game. It will be
2-1 New York.
I agree with that. I think Boston, like, just close the game.
Please.
Just close the game. And Timberwolves-Warriors currently tied at 1. Game 3 is Saturday night on ABC. Who you got?
Give me the Wolves, baby.
Yeah, I unfortunately with Steph out, I think I'm going to take the Wolves as well. Okay, that leaves one order of business left. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones. Michael Penix sat down for an interview earlier this week. This made the rounds. We got it off CBS Sports. I apologize to the original interviewer because I don't know where this is from, but this looked like a very funny conversation. I've seen a couple of clips. And Anthony, I sent this clip to you because I send all funny clips to you, but also you're going to be able to provide more insight on just how funny this is.
I've never seen you without a durag. Yeah. Your teammate Bijan Robinson said you go in the steam room with a durag.
To be honest about a durag, it started off as a process, waves. I'm trying to get my waves going, so I got the durag. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And then it became a thing where everybody was like, what's under the durag? What's under the durag? Ended up getting big, and I was like, all right, since everybody want to know what's under, I ain't going to show nobody. Yeah. I ain't going to show nobody. I'm going to let you keep thinking, keep guessing. Never, you got to catch me at like a dinner. Okay. We're off the blank.
Yep, with Mr. Blank.
Anytime I'm around, off the blank. Unless we had a game, I don't got the durag on.
Do you shower with the durag too?
I shower with it at the facility. But as soon as I get in the car, I take it off. They don't know that. So if you roll by, like leaving practice, and you roll by me and you look, and I was right next to you, you looked over, it ain't on. At this point, I'm trolling.
That's funny.
Honestly, I kind of want to pull the, at this point, I'm trolling, and just have it on the board ready to go at all times. That way, when I troll you, I can hit the button. Anthony, you said you also, our durag comes off immediately in the car.
Yeah, so I'll actually wear my durag to my car, and then I'll take it off before I head to, usually I'm going to like my middle school. I'll take it off because sometimes my durag leaves a little mark on my head. So it needs like 20, 25 minutes for it to disappear. And I have a 30-minute drive. So, yeah, that's usually when I take it off. But for the most of the time, I'm in the crib, Craig, and I'm do-ragged up because you cannot miss an opportunity to lay your head down. So that's why we always wear our do-rags. You gotta lay your head down.
Where's the line of delineation, though? Because you wear it at work, and we're on camera, and you're just like, nah, this is my style. And I think it's all because, like, Penix wears it in interviews. Like, because it also, like, it is function, but it's also fashion.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a little overboard with it because he wears it under his helmet. Now, if I did have a helmet, I probably would wear my do-rag as well. But if I'm playing basketball...
he's doing too much. I would also do too much.
If I'm playing basketball, I'll take my do-rag off. Yeah, like, because I don't like to sweat through my do-rag.
Yeah.
Because if you do, then you got to wash it. Then, it's just too much. So, yeah. It's a lot to wear in a do-rag. I'm not going to lie, Craig.
Yeah. I always laugh because Doc Walker is always just giving you all kinds of gruff for wearing the do-rag, and he's saying all kinds of stuff. I'm like,
yeah.
Doc, this is not my area of expertise. Whatever you got. And, well, maybe back in the day, Doc also had hair and waves and the whole deal.
Yeah,
I don't know. Now I want to look up pictures of young Doc Walker, but I've known Doc for 10 years, and it's been a member of the Ball Brotherhood.
Yeah, he's a little follically challenged. That's what I like to say.
Do you tell him that?
Yeah, yeah.
What's he respond with?
He responds by making fun of me for putting chemicals in my hair. So he thinks I put chemicals in my hair while he doesn't necessarily have to do that. So
no, you just got to make sure that the dome is nice and shiny.
Yeah.
Doc Walker's head, well manicured. So is yours, just in a different way. All right, that's our very stupid radio show. We'll see you back here on Monday on the Team 980.